Chapter 3. Long John Silver and the Hispaniola. Although Jim and the doctor were supposed to stay together, the doctor had to travel to London to take care of some business, and Jim needed to stay and help with the inn. However, they both kept their promises. They did not say a word to anyone. Jim took advantage of the time. He repaired and repainted the inn. He also found a boy of about his age to work at the inn and help his mother. The squire even bought a nice, comfortable chair for Jim's mother to sit in near the bar. Jim was ready to sail. When the ship was ready, Jim received a message telling him to travel to town and find a man named Mr. Silver who would bring him to the boat. It was a strange feeling for Jim to leave his hometown for the first time, but it was also exciting. When Jim found Mr. Silver, he was shocked because the man had only one leg. Could this be the very pirate Billy Bones had feared? When the man turned around, Jim thought he did not have the face of a pirate. He was tall and strong with an intelligent face and a cheerful attitude. After having seen the captain, Black Dog, and the blind man, Jim was confident that he would know a pirate when he saw one. This man was the ship's cook and nothing more. His name was Long John Silver, and he took Jim to the ship.
"There she is," Silver told Jim. "The Hispaniola. Will this be your first trip out to sea?"
"It's my first time on a boat," said Jim.
"Aye, is that so? We'll make a pirate out of ye."
Jim jumped onto the ship and greeted the squire and the doctor. Everyone on the ship was preparing to sail out. It was an exciting sight with all different kinds of people. The crew members were men and women from all around the world, with tattoos, piercings, hooks for hands, and even wooden legs. The squire thought they were a great crew, but Jim thought they looked rather frightening. When Jim told the squire this, the squire said that every one of the sailors had been picked by Long John Silver, whom the squire trusted completely. Plus, none of the crew members knew where the Hispaniola was going or what it was looking for. The doctor was still worried that the squire had told someone about their plans. He asked again to make sure that the squire had not told anyone about the treasure map. The squire told him that he had kept his mouth shut and that absolutely no one knew. Long John Silver heard them all talking and smiled knowingly. However, no one saw him. No one suspected a thing. One crew member on the Hispaniola was not chosen by Long John Silver. That was the captain. He was chosen by the doctor, and he had a few things to say. The captain followed the squire, the doctor, and Jim into the squire's cabin and shut the door. He asked for permission to speak and told them that he believed he should be honest even though he risked a great deal. He said that he did not like the men of the crew, and he did not like the cook. This was a brave thing to say, considering that the squire loved Long John Silver. The squire was angry because he truly liked Long John Silver. He was not happy to hear bad words about him, but at that time the doctor spoke up. The doctor told everyone to relax, and he asked the captain to explain what exactly he meant. The captain explained that he had been hired on what they called sealed orders, to sail the ship wherever the squire asked him to go without knowing in advance. This was fine by him. However, everyone else on the ship seemed to know exactly where they were going and what they were up to. He did not think that it was fair to be the only one who did not know the plans, and the doctor agreed with him. In addition, the captain explained that he had learned that they were going after treasure, which was dangerous business, especially dangerous when it was done in secret. Yet again, he was the only one to whom it was a secret. Even Silver's parrot knew. At that point, the squire laughed and said that Silver's parrot could not possibly know where they were headed. However, the captain strongly disagreed and said that the parrot did indeed know where they were going. He also added that the crew gave him an uneasy feeling. It was like they were all old friends who gathered together for some purpose. Although Silver might be a good sailor,
he seemed too friendly with the crew too quickly. The doctor thought that the captain had a point and asked for suggestions. The captain wasted no time in patiently explaining some ideas. First, he told them that he would like to move the guns and ammunition from the front of the ship toward the back, where they would be closer to the squire's cabin. That way, the squire could keep a better eye on things. Second, he suggested that they change where everyone was sleeping. The captain knew that the squire had brought four people of his own with him, and he suggested that those four men change beds in order to be closer to the cabin for protection. And finally, the captain said that there had been far too much talking already. He told them that he had heard about their map of an island with crosses on it, showing where a great treasure was. Then, to everyone's surprise, the captain named the exact name and location of the island. Jim, the squire, and the doctor all started talking at the same time.
"I never told anyone," said the squire. "It must have been one of you two. Did you tell?"
"It wasn't me," said Jim.
"It doesn't really matter who it was at this point," said the doctor. "They already know."
"Well, I don't know which of you has this map," the captain told them. "Nonetheless, it should be hidden and kept secret. It should be kept secret from myself and even Long John Silver. If not, I would ask that you find another captain tonight."
"With all of your suggestions, I have to believe that you fear a mutiny," said the doctor.
"Please understand, I don't know if a mutiny is planned or not. However, as the captain, I am responsible for the ship's safety and the safety of the men on board. I have an uneasy feeling, and I'm simply asking you to be careful."
"I must say, Captain," added the doctor, "that I believe you came in here today in order to get fired."
"There is no denying that you are an intelligent man. I did not think that you would listen to anything I had to say, and so I thought it would be best to get off this ship before it sets sail."
"I would not have listened to you if the doctor had not been here," confessed the squire. "As it is, I will do everything that you have asked, but I want you to know that I do not like you."
"Thank you, sir. That is fine. Despite all of this, I hope you find that I will do my job well."
And with those words, the captain left the room. The true problem in all of this was simply personality. Long John Silver was too charming, and the captain was not charming enough. The squire was blinded by the charm of Long John Silver, and he did not see the honest heart of the captain. The doctor and the squire told the men to move the guns and ammunition and change some of the places where the men slept. Silver was not very happy about this at all, but he didn't let anyone know. In the early morning, the ship was ready, and the captain gave the order to set sail. Jim excitedly breathed in the salty sea air. Behind him, Long John Silver leaned against a post and smiled with his beautiful green parrot perched on his shoulder. And as they sailed away, the parrot shouted,
"Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight!"
These words would echo in Jim's dreams for the rest of his life.